This podcast is made possible by our generous sponsor, Flatiron Cafe and Center City Liquor at 561 State Street, Rochester, New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural Rochester's Little Italy podcast. We are here at the Glorious Studios, and I am joined by the eminent Silvano Orsi.
President of Little Italy Association.
President of the Rochester Little Italy Association. Mm-hmm. And also special guest with us is City Council member from the Northwest District, Molly Clifford.
Hello, everybody.
And for those who may not know, the Northwest District comprises the glorious Lyle Ave, Little Italy area of Rochester.
All the way to Charlotte.
Yeah. All the way to Charlotte and down to Frontier Field.
There you go. Big district. Very historic Little Italy district now making a big comeback.
We're trying.
Which is good.
And your name is the hostess.
Oh, and I am the host. I am the hostess with the mostest, Zach Opsitnik. It's not Italian sounding, but credentials is my mom and her family are Italian.
Wonderful.
Excuse me. So, this is our first podcast, so really what we want to do first is kind of lay out a little bit of the history and the goals of the Rochester Little Italy Association and what we want to do to really help out the association, help out the neighborhood, bring it to prominence, back to prominence. So what do you, a little history of the neighborhood, if you could.
Okay. The area comprises a border. I'll just go through a quick border. It would be State and Lake area, down Lyle to the Broad and Dury area, north to Lorimer, south to the area near Capelli Stadium and J Street. That is the initially proposed area that we're thinking about, just for the simple fact that we can't designate the entire Lyle corridor or, you know, half of the city. The Italians were very well known to be sparse across the city. That's an area that we think the bulk of Italian-American migration occurred in, and we'd like to revitalize it because that is the area that is most struggling right now in the city of Rochester, and we think that needs the most attention. It's an area that has about 150 years of Italian-American history, with many, many old Italian businesses still there and many that were there. We're trying to expose that on the Little Italy Association Facebook page where people can see photos and pictures of the old businesses and the new ones, the many existing businesses that are there. There's still a lot of Italian Americans that live in that area, not as many as before, but there are, you know, businesses like Naka's and the Flatiron, which is owned by an Italian American, Rocky's Antonetta's, Roncone's, DiPaolo's Bakery, Santa Motors, Syracuse Motors, and on and on and on. There are still many Italian American businesses there, but there are also new cultures there. And so what this effort is about is an inclusive effort to try and commemorate the history in an effort to create a historic district so that could spark development and revitalization and encourage other cultures to come down there with the Italian Americans to open new businesses and shops in the area and economically drive the area to prosper again.
See, that's great to hear because you need to bring, you know, prosperity back to these neighborhoods. Now, you were saying that Rochester, New York itself is, what, ranked ninth for Italian Americans,
right,
and second in New York State?
Yeah, it's ranked ninth in the nation as far as Italian Americans and first and second generation Italians, and also second in New York State, only to Staten Island. So I think that's a big number. Again, this isn't just about the Italian Americans; it's about an inclusive neighborhood. But we want to commemorate that history. It's 150th year of Italian American history in Rochester this year. The first resident to register in Rochester was Domenico Sturla in 1868 in an area behind Tapas, where Tapas sits right now on St. Paul. So he registered his residence in the Carthage Alleyway, which is right behind there, took up an apartment there. And then the Italians began to form their families, and that area was known as Sleepy Hollow back then. And it developed over the years, but it suffered from squalor for a long time, and so the state decided to kind of shut it down and redevelop it, and the Italians began to migrate from the east and west side of the river area over to the mouth of Lyle Avenue, and then subsequently all the way down to the town of Gates over the past 40, 50 years.
Yeah. You know, I was born and raised in the city in the Maplewood neighborhood, which is about 15 blocks north of the area that we're talking about. And you really can't go anywhere in the city and mention Lyle Avenue without people saying, oh, you know, I grew up over there. Oh, my grandmother was over there. We used to go to Rocky's for lunch. You know, it is really known as a very historic district for the Italian-American community. So, you know, Rochester does a great job of recognizing much of its history. Obviously, we have Susan B. Anthony, we have Frederick Douglass, a lot to be proud of, but we haven't really recognized the Italian-American community in Rochester, and that's important. And quite frankly, there are a lot of neighborhoods in the city that need some extra assistance, need some redevelopment, and, you know, having a historic area such as Lyle Avenue is really a nice hook for investment, could be for tourism, for any kind of economic development, so that we can really bring people back to the city and really show them all the great things that the city has to offer. So that's why I'm excited about this project.
Absolutely. Now, you have been a council member for this area for how long now?
Two whole years.
So in your opinion, if I may, what do you think really needs to be done to give this the push that it needs from a political standpoint to get the project off the ground and really start to bring prominence back to this very historic area that should be brought to the forefront once again?
Right. Well, Silvano has been doing an excellent job in recruiting partners from all across the community, and whether they are neighborhood organizations or businesses in the area, the folks at Capelli Stadium, which anchors the district, all of these folks really want to see this neighborhood revitalized. So they want to help Silvano in this effort. But as we know, it does take additional investment. It takes money. Governor Cuomo has been very helpful in making this part of his agenda. So we just need to get everybody on board and moving forward. There's more planning that needs to be done. There's some legwork that we've got to do. And we hope that we can, again, get all of our partners in line, get the city behind it, our other government partners, and really come up with a plan to move this idea forward. It's going to take a lot of work from a lot of different people.
And I agree with everything that Molly just said. You know, we're trying to get everybody on board, and there's an initial period when something like this happens. It's normal that folks have questions and want to be cautious about, you know, jumping on board and getting this going. And that's rightfully so. They have a right to ask questions and make sure that proper planning is happening there. We're really trying to put together a charrette for the area, which is a community engagement process where the entire community in that area will be surveyed and asked what they want to see in the neighborhood, what they think is important to do. We have a couple of banks considering funding that with us. And I think that should be the primary focus right now is private investors, foundations, folks like that that can help fund this project. You know, going after state and local and state money is a good thing. We should always have them as a partner. But I don't think that's going to be the linchpin or the thing that's going to kick off this project. I think our focus on private investment is very, very important. And that's where we go back to the part about getting partners involved. I would love to see someone that grew up in that neighborhood, perhaps, or around that area, like a Tom Galisano, for example, who could really help us drive that charrette and the development process down there as just a something to be proud of as an Italian-American in our history. And, we're working with Governor Cuomo. He gave us, he and Empire State Development, I should say, gave us a grant of $20,000 to start the initial planning process. But how that works is that's a refundable grant. So we have to come out first and pay the entire cost of any of these studies, and then we'll get reimbursed, which is a normal process with Empire State Development. But for us as a small association, we really need the private investors to now step it up a notch, and our steering board and everybody who's involved in there to say, let's start producing here. It can't be just me going to the community and taking on all aspects of this project. And that's why I'm very honored to have people like Molly involved on the steering board, people that step up and put pen to paper and do podcasts like this and take their time out of their busy schedule to talk with us. This is excellent.
You know, there's a lot of great things that are going on in the neighborhood and very close to the neighborhood, and we know the way reinvestment works is sort of one block at a time. So there's been some great work done on State Street, right at the mouth of Lyle, the Flatiron Building Silvano mentioned. That's a great linchpin in the neighborhood. But as you know, MCC, the downtown campus has moved into the vicinity. Again, we have Capelli Stadium, Frontier Field, High Falls, all very close to the anticipated Lyle Avenue Historic District. So it is not a pipe dream to think that it'll just keep moving west, and that's what we want to see happen. So we're getting a jump on it, and we're excited about it.
Molly's right. Those projects, MCC Student Campus, the brewery, the High Falls, the Greentopia Eco District that's being planned there, those all rely on traffic. Even the Riverway project that's being proposed right now, all the new tourists that we're expecting to come in for those projects, those are all coming in from the west side, Canada, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, and they're ushered in thousands of people and thousands of vehicles every single day coming through the Lyle Corridor. And that's why I think it's very important to address the issues there first in the neighborhoods right now, or in parallel as we attack, you know, the issues of those other projects, because the people are coming in through there and it's not a welcoming sight to see what's down there right now.
Well, and that's another thing you mentioned about the private funding, and I think that's a very good opportunity for people literally to reinvest in their community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a community they may have grown up in or moved to and call their home now. But to be able to give back and bring it, make it a place that people, yes, want to come to see, that people coming from Niagara Falls, driving through to, you know, say New York City or whatever, that they want to pull off of the thruway and say, hey, you know what? I've heard a lot of good things about this area. Let's go check it out. Grab something to eat. Look at some of the shops and just, you know, enjoy the historic nature of this area, because that's becoming a lot more prevalent these days. You know, people really interested in the history of, you know, certain neighborhoods, and with a very large Italian American population in the area, you're going to get a lot of people like, wow, so this is the place. This is, you know, this community has been around for 150 years, and look at how well they're doing now.
Well, even think locally. What we see in Rochester happening is people seek out history and culture, but also livable neighborhoods, Park Avenue, some of the festivals that we have in town. That's what draws people to Rochester, our multicultural background, these beautiful neighborhoods that we have. And I think, you know, there's a focus now on entertainment and building developments, when the focus should really be these neighborhoods, which I think are what we're most proud of in Rochester. And if you think about some of the things that are going on in these neighborhoods, just think locally. If you could have a Little Italy district in Rochester, and you're in Fairport at night or in Webster, and you say, I want to, you know, go out for spaghetti tonight or an Italian dish, where do we go? Let's go to Little Italy. Let's give it a shot. You're talking there about harnessing purchasing dollars for the district. You're grabbing money that's out there in the community and bringing it into this area, rather than all of it being focused on the East End, for example.
I think another thing that we're seeing on City Council is really a new excitement about not only the city of Rochester, but cities in general. There's a new urbanism where young people really want to be a part of an urban culture. They want to be around different people. They may have been raised in the suburbs and see it as kind of a homogeneous, boring way to go. So now that they are buying houses, raising families, they want to really have a more diverse experience. So we really want to appeal to that, too, and we think we can. We're seeing more young people move into the city, rehab old houses, and we want to let them know that Little Italy could be a great place for them to consider doing that as well.
And that's another thing that we really need to remember, is that it's not just good for the neighborhood itself, but for the city of Rochester as a whole, because you're going to up the reputation, bring in a lot more tourism dollars, because if you come specifically for Little Italy, you're not just going to stop there. You're going to go to other places in the city, and that's why, you know, I really think it's important that, you know, the city really get behind this and, you know, want to help rebuild a great neighborhood, because it's going to benefit everybody in the long run, not just the people that live there. And, you know, you know, and make it just better, a much better place to live, a fun place to live, a fun place to be, and just a good place to go spend some time and drop some money.
I think the city will get behind it, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think the mayor of the city is a pretty intelligent person. I don't see eye to eye with her on every single issue, but I think she's intelligent enough to know that that's a normal process. When you have someone championing a neighborhood, I am going to stand up for issues that I believe in, and she understands that. And it's part of a discussion that has an ultimate end, which is developing that area. I know for a fact I got contacted by a man named Josh Artuzo, who was the former city planning representative or one of the managers handling city planning in 2006. And he verified to me yesterday that there was a plan to revitalize Lyle Avenue, and it kind of got shelved for about 12 years. And this is the result that we're facing today, is that the area is a little bit downtrodden and neglected and suffering from urban blight. But that doesn't mean we can't come together and fix and maybe use some of the ideas that were in that plan to fix the situation. Even what's happening at Capelli Stadium, you know, that's the area's biggest economic driver. It's a logical fact that I'm going to stand up for keeping that in the neighborhood. And if there's a better plan than just closing it down, I'd like to see that. I'd really like to review it and have the community review that with me. There's 30 neighborhood associations now that are backing the Little Italy effort. Many neighbors building neighborhoods, they're called. And these are associations from Charlotte to Cornhill to Park Ave. They're all behind us agreeing that this is a fantastic effort for the community. And they want to see now what the plan is for the stadium and other items within the neighborhood. And again, I think the city is composed of intelligent folks. They understand that not everybody agrees on every single issue, but that a discussion is important to keep and continue forward with.
You know, one of the properties that Silvano and I are both excited about and interested in is the old Tent City building, which is on the corner of Lyle and Dewey Avenue. And I think, you know, thanks to the attention that we've been able to put onto the Lyle Avenue neighborhood, it's on the Five to Revive list from the Rochester Historical Society.
The Landmark Society.
Landmark
of Western
Society.
New York.
Thank you, because yep. I don't want to call them by the wrong name.
Larry Francer.
Larry, thanks, Larry. It is a great building and certainly played a role. Oh my God, I went to Tent City hundreds of times growing up. But it is a big old building that definitely needs a lot of help. But it really could serve as a real driver for both the Little Italy Neighborhood Association, but also for the area in general. So having the attention on it as a Five to Revive parcel, we hope is going to get some more attention. And as we get more people in the neighborhood who are there, you know, creating some vibrancy, creating some economic opportunities, that's just going to help our efforts as a whole.
That's a great point. That property, Mr. Lou Atkin, who owns that property, he's very supportive of what we're doing. And I think he's got a project going there. I heard rumor has it that DePaul and Krista were looking at helping him out with that. And we hope that happens. There are other projects that are happening in the area. Saratoga Healthcare is forming. That's a part of the Saratoga Pharmacy. There are several doctors, a Dr. Gupta, who's involved with Rochester Regional Health and others. I met with them, and they're forming a board and an actual 501c3 that's planning a new healthcare clinic on Lyle Avenue to provide services for a large group of Burmese and Nepalese refugees down there. They deal with them daily in the pharmacy, and they want to provide language services to be able to welcome them into a kind of welcome center of sorts, where they'll have cultural arts and crafts classes going on, and they'll take care of their simple medical needs. You know, a doctor with a stethoscope.
Stethoscope.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. I can never say that word right. It must be the Italian in me. But anyway, he'll just have a very simple setup and provide basic health care checkup to folks coming in, and then they'll provide some direction. Kind of what we want to do with a much greater size Little Italy Welcome Center later on, except for the healthcare part of it. And I'm helping these people now put together the formation of their corporation and get the idea compacted into a project that they can present for state funding or private funding.
Silvano also raises the fact that Lyle Avenue is home to a number of different immigrant and refugee communities and always has been, which is kind of the nice other tie-in with the Italian-American Neighborhood Association, is the fact that we really want to focus on Rochester's place as a welcoming community to cultures of all kinds. So while it may have been the Italians back in the 1850s, it continues today with the Burmese community, with the Nepali community, and every other culture along the way. I mean, I think our vision is that Lyle Avenue, which is a very long road, could really be an international street. And so the Little Italy Historic District could just be the first step in that process. So
I think that's a great idea. And these cultures really appreciate what's going on there. You'd be surprised how many come forward and say, you know, let's do this Little Italy thing. This is fantastic. We want to have this in Rochester. It's an upsell for our city. And that goes to my point for San Diego's Little Italy. That's kind of serving as an initial model to consider for Lyle Avenue. They had a Little Italy district, which was based on the tuna fishing industry in San Diego. And if you look at littleitalysd.com, that's their website, there's a story there that talks about how bad that area had become, kind of worse than ours. They had a freeway, you know, the federal government built a freeway right through it. There was drugs, crime, prostitution, just like Lyle Avenue. But they banded together as a community, and not just Italians, and they've turned it around, and now it's been ranked by Forbes magazine as one of the top 10 neighborhoods to live in for millennials in the nation. And that's something we have to strive to do as well here in Lyle.
Exactly. And just like you, just like you said, they banded together as a community. It seems that the drive is there from the community to want to band together and do this. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that soon Rochester and the Lyle Ave area could be ranked in one of the top 10 neighborhoods to live in.
It could become a very hip district to live in.
Absolutely.
Kind of like the East Ave side on the east side. You know, we have work to do to convince the community what's in it for them. And that's part of the message that we're putting out and why we're doing these podcasts, is for folks to understand what the great advantages of having a Little Italy Historic District in Rochester.
So, Silvano, I would say that I'm getting hungry thinking about all the fantastic Italian-American restaurants there are in that neighborhood, and we want to encourage people to go check them out. They don't have to wait until this becomes a reality. They can go to Roncone's, they can go to Rocky's, they can go to Antonetta's, they can go to the Flatiron Cafe.
That's right. And, go see Jimmy Paulino at Roncone's.
That's right.
Go see Joe at Rocky's and the other guys at Antonetta's, and go see some of the Mexican restaurants that are on Lyle. There's Latino places to go to. There's Asian places down there. There's a couple of Somali businesses, a Yemeni business in that area. And some of the things that you're going to see start happening on Lyle is we have an initiative to put an Italian and American flag with the flag of the owner's business. So there's a guy named Adal who's from Yemen who owns the supermart there, the mini mart in front of Roncone's. He's going to put up an Italian American flag and a Yemeni flag. Saratoga is going to put up an Italian American flag and Nepalese and Indian flag. And Tom LeBoux, of course, has got the Italian and American flags. We have a stringer of flags running across Smith Street with just about every culture, you know, Japan, Canada, China, Santo Domingo, or Dominican Republic, sorry, Puerto Rico, and others, Irish, the Germans, it's all included. And you're going to see all these different initiatives start to happen. We're going to repaint the Little Italy Historic District mural that's on the Flatiron Building, and that's going to happen pretty soon in April. You're going to see figures like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, Sophia Loren, Carmen Basilio, local figures, Joe DiMaggio, Rocky Marciano. You'll see them in different scenes on that building, you know, kind of sitting and eating together, and then the Historic District logo. And that's going to draw a lot of attention.
I was going to say, that right there is a tourist attraction right there.
Yeah. Sil, what about the red chair? Are we going to get the red chair?
Yeah, there's an idea for a red. Well, San Diego started this. They have a big red wooden picnic chair, but it's giant size, and they have a social media tag at the bottom of it, and it just encourages families to go and sit on this chair with their families and take pictures and then tag them to social media, and people start to see the area is welcoming, it's friendly. that's the whole goal. We want to change the negative perception that exists right now for Lyle Avenue. It's really not that bad. Yes, there is crime there. There are issues to address. We will address those. We'll work with the community for that. But it has to start with simple changes and simple things that we can do, like slowing traffic down in the area, putting up obstacles like the Little Italy banners that you see up on the light poles. Those, believe it or not, slow people down, forces them to look at them, and they start, you know, stopping and going into these businesses and shopping. The big red chair, it slows down the walk pace that's happening there.
Well, that's a great idea, and especially, like you said, in this age of social media, that's key because people, you know, you don't read the newspaper for reviews or anything like that. Now you get on your phone, you get on the computer, and you look at it, and yeah, maybe the perception isn't that great right now, but the reality of the situation is that it's better than what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to turn, and it's going to go forward. And so if people, you know, have any questions, want more information, where do we go to find that? To the Little Italy Association, I know, has a Facebook page.
Yeah, they should go to Facebook, which is at Little Italy ROC, or they should go to www.littleitalyroc.com, which is our website. They can go to the City of Rochester's cityofrochester.gov website and start to learn about the Northwest Quadrant, some of the beautiful parks we have there. Our park, Jones Square Park and Brown Square, those are Olmsted parks.
They are, and Silvano knows that that's one of my favorite things about the Northwest is we actually have the most Olmsted parks of any area in Rochester, and Rochester is only one of four cities in the country that has an Olmsted Park system. So it is, it's really a unique gem for us. And Jones Park, for those of you who have not been there lately, go check it out. It is one of the most beautiful urban parks anywhere, hands down.
And if I can add one thing about the historic district designation process that's going on, the Landmark Society of Western New York, our friend Larry Francer and Wayne Goodman, are submitting, we actually did a survey of historic eligible properties on Lyle Avenue, and they're submitting formal applications to the State Historic Preservation Office in Albany and the National Register in Washington, D.C. But the thing about that is there may be some integrity issues we have to address there. There's not a lot of Italian businesses right on Lyle, and that might affect the application process where it has to be reformulated as more of a residential district around the park or individual designations for buildings like the Flatiron, like the Tent City building. But whether or not there's an official historic designation in Washington, D.C. happening, that is a historic district down there, just like Buffalo's is, just like Syracuse's. They don't have historic designation. They just band together as a community and recognize the longstanding history of the area and work to improve it. And that's what we have to do as a community.
See, and that's what it's all about, community, building community, and making what was great, great once again, I think.
That's right. And I have every faith and trust in the city and state to come together with us and make this happen. Great people like Molly and some of the other folks that support this project, we appreciate that very much. And we're going to continue to strive forward and make this happen for the benefit of the entire community.
Let's do it.
And also, one last thing, if you want to get a taste, you know, figuratively and literally, the Little Italy Fest is coming June the 16th, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's scheduled for June 16th at Capelli Stadium. We'll see how that pans out now in the months ahead. We have every confidence and every trust that it will be a great festival for all to enjoy, as it was last year, where thousands of people attended. It was ranked as the number two cultural festival in Rochester and the city newspaper's best cultural festivals list. We're honored by that, and that means that the community is listening, appreciating what we're doing, and the importance of this great festival.
That will be a great time. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of other people are looking forward to it, to build on what was great last year, make it even better. And I think on that note, we'll wrap this one up, the inaugural Rochester Little Italy podcast. You can check out the Little Italy ROC Facebook page, littleitalyroc.com. I forgot what the ending was.
It's the website.
Yeah, but so that's it for today. We'll be back again in the future with more guests, more information, and stick with it, folks, because you're going to see a lot of big changes, and you know you want to be a part of it and see how it goes. So for Silvano, for Molly, and for the Little Italy Association of Rochester, I am Zach, saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.